in pre-settlement days, the Peace River country could be likened to a sea of forest, with islands of prairie and parkland scattered here and there. Prairie fires in the spring and fall kept the forest from encroaching. Some of these islands had French names, such as Grand Prairie, spelled G-R-A-N-D-E, which is French for large, and Boussou Bay, which is French for cut thumb. There's controversy about the origin of this name, but years ago, Israel Trombley told me that his father actually knew the beaver chief Boussou Bay, and that he actually did have a cut thumb. A wild animal of pre-settlement days was the wild horse. Like all wild horses of North America, it was descended from the tame horse. There was at least a couple of small bands of these horses in isolated parts when I first came to the country. Boussou Bay Prairie was settled mainly between 1908 and the beginning of the First Great War. Of this period, I do not know too much, and will leave it to those who came then. However, there was some settlement after the First Great War, especially by soldier settlers. Many years ago, my wife had a long talk with the elder Mrs. Trombley and her first trip to the Boussou Bay Prairie. They came, of course, by trail, in wagon, and with pack horses. A milk cow was tethered behind one of the wagons. Mrs. Cow was expecting, and when the blessed event was about to take place, everything stopped. After the calf was born, it was packed on one of the pack horses, and everything started again. They had a trading post at Trombley's Ford, which is about where the Dawson Creek flows into the Boussou Bay River. She told of the first potatoes they brought in. If anyone wanted to buy some, he was asked what he wanted them for. He said he wanted them to eat, he didn't get them. If he said he wanted them to plant, he got a few. To the best of my knowledge, that is the story of the first white woman, the first cow, and the first potatoes to come to the Boussou Bay Prairie. As years went on, the name Boussou Bay Prairie fell into disuse. It was included in the larger area known as the Peace River Blocks. A few years before the First Great War, a good plan was worked out for giving the Peace River country a rail outlet both east and west. The Alberta government backed the Edmonton, Dunvegan, and BC Railway, which was to build a main line from Edmonton to the interprovincial boundary just east of Briar Ridge. The BC government backed Pacific Great Eastern Railway, was to run from the Pacific coast to meet the ED and BC Railway at the interprovincial boundary just east of Briar Ridge. When railway building was stopped by the First Great War, the ED and BC was operating a railway of sorts from Edmonton to Spirit River, and the grade was built from Spirit River to the Boussou Bay Prairie. It wasn't very long before the ED and BC was turned back to the Alberta government and the PGE to the BC government. I remember a trip I made from Edmonton to Spirit River over the ED and BC. The couple across the aisle had a baby. In the morning, they showed me the marbles of butter in the baby's milk and the baby's bottle. I remember the small slide there was on the Smoky Hill, which left a few yards of the rails and ties dangling in the air. The train stopped, and the train crew got out their axes, which seemed to be part of their equipment. They cut down small poplar trees, trimmed them up, shoved them under the dangling track. When everything was snug, we went on our way. I had been brought up on a farm and liked the independent outdoor life. However, I was the younger son and had to shift for myself. When the First Great War was declared, I enlisted and went overseas with the 1st Canadian Contingent. There, I had my share of adventure. In the latter part of 1916, I wanted to join the Royal Flying Corps, but was told that on account of an agreement between Britain and the government of Holland, a neutral country, I could no longer take part in the war. So I returned to Canada and was discharged. In the spring of 1917, I came to Spirit River and with an American and a Swede walked over the grade to the Pouskapay Prairie. For the time being, the Swede had a one-track mind. He had no thought for the war. All he wanted was to get a homestead and settle on it, period. As a start in this direction, he packed a small tent on his back. We walked about 25 miles a day. As we walked along the grade, we noticed the huge piles of ties. The pile driver with most of the piles driven were the bridges, and the section of land at the boundary reserved by the Dominion government for a town site. One thing that interested me was the ovens, was the remains of the ovens which the great builders had used to bake their bread. They had been fashioned out of gumbo or subsoil and burned brick red by fire. I came again in 1918, and then in July 1920 I came for good and began teaching Pouskapay Central School. As I came in over the grade, the ties were placed all ready for the steel for about 10 miles. And I felt fairly confident that the railway would soon reach the Pouskapay Prairie. But it was not to be. With the PGE bogged down with incompetence, someone got the big idea that Alberta money should not be used to build a railway to serve part of BC. That view prevailed. The ties were gathered up and hauled into Spirit River and the grade abandoned. For several years, Pouskapay Prairie farmers hauled their grain over the abandoned grade in the wintertime. The Pouskapay Central School was taught first by a Britisher by the name of Simpson. He soon changed to the Landry School. Then there was a Miss Anderson, whom I did not know. Then there was another Miss Anderson, who was an exchange teacher from New Zealand. These three teachers together taught about 2 years. Then I taught for 12 years steady until the railway came, when I quit to go farming. The BC government of that time was as efficient in educational affairs as it was deficient in railway building. Teachers' salaries were set and paid from Victoria. The quality of teaching was as high as it is today, and the teachers adapted well to frontier conditions. The early schools took their names largely from physical features. There was Saskatoon Creek School and Dawson Creek School, which was about where the Cedar Lodge Motel is situated. Dawson Creek School never did move to the old town. Three of the earliest schools took their names from the Pouskapay Prairie. Pouskapay South was a little outside the present village of Pouskapay. The name was later changed to Pouskapay. Duskupe North was some distance from the present village of Rolla. Later, it was transferred to Rolla and the name changed to Rolla. Duskupe Central was built near a trail which went east and west across the country, passing south of Narmarks Lake and between the two lakes. Some Anglicans for a short time had the idea of building a church next to the school and starting a graveyard. One man was buried in the graveyard before the idea was abandoned. It was clear that the day of the trails was over. A few years later, Central School was moved 1 mile south and 1/2 mile east where it is today. The dead man, now without a graveyard, is still there. In time, Rolla had more than one teacher and started to teach high school subjects. From then on, and until after the railway came, Rolla was the educational center south of the river. While teaching school, I gradually acquired the farmland I own today. At first, I lived near the school, but after purchasing the homestead of Jacob Jacobson, I lived on it. He was a Norwegian who was good at woodwork. The cabin had been constructed without nails. The corners were dovetailed and the logs fastened together with wooden pegs. The roof consisted of poles covered with a thick layer of slough grass, and this in turn by a thick layer of dirt. The hinges of the door were of leather, and the two cross pieces were dovetailed. The up and down boards of the door had been hand-hewn and fitted to slip on the two dovetailed cross pieces. The wildlife was much as it is today. I remember once plowing near the lake with an outfit of horses and the dog. A young-looking coyote with a glint of mischief in his eyes was passing by and came across to have a look. The dog made a furious rush at him. The coyote turned, taking the same speed as the dog, kept about 6 feet of fresh air between himself and the dog. He would make large circles around me so I wouldn't miss the fun. Finally, the dog stopped to think it over, then started towards me. The coyote followed him, keeping about 6 feet behind. Soon the whole thing deteriorated into a game. I went up and down the field, the two satellites circling around me, sometimes the dog chasing the coyote, sometimes the coyote chasing the dog. After about an hour, the coyote suddenly remembered something that needed investigating and left. The dog followed me to the end of the field and flopped. He stayed flopped until quitting time. More than once, a coyote has sat on his haunches and curiously watched me go up and down a field, up and down, without end, and never stopping once to catch a mouse. Human psychologists say a coyote can't think. But after watching me for a while, I am not too hopeful what a coyote psychologist would say of my ability to think. In 1921, there occurred in Alberta one of those political rebellions which is a characteristic of the history of Western Canada, and the UFA, or farmer government, came into power. They improved the roadbed of the ED and BC, and then each year extended the railway until it reached Hythe. This farmer government was very sorry for the plight of the farmers in the Peace River Block. the Honorable Vernon Smith was the Minister of Railways. He was a farmer who formerly had been a contractor in building railroads. When the UFA government sold the ED and BC to the CPR, they put a clause in the agreement of sale by which the CPR had to build so many miles of new railway. This brought the railway to Hines Creek and Dawson Creek. Dawson Creek might still be an unincorporated village, but for the Honorable Vernon Smith and his farmer government, who, out of their active sympathy and neighborliness, had the railway extension built, which made Dawson Creek at first a railhead, from which, in due course, other transportation arteries started from or came to, and so made Dawson Creek the chief distribution center of the whole Peace River country and the north. Lately, an historical society has been formed to record the stories of various old-timers so that much of the early history of this country would not be lost. This tape is one of the stories. That's all.